Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, anytime you have to hastily call a late evening press conference to clarify something that happened months ago, generally speaking, it's not exactly what you were hoping your campaign would be doing that day. But nonetheless, Mitt Romney's response to the tapes released by Mother Jones from a fundraiser, I believe it was back in May, makes for a good martini. Not the strongest of all good martinis we've certainly ever had, but first of all, we'll play a couple of clips that Mother Jones and many people on the left think really hurts Mitt Romney. We don't really necessarily see it that way, although he probably could have stated these things a little bit better. So here, first of all, is Mitt Romney explaining why he believes 47% of Americans will probably never vote for him.
There are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But that's an entitlement, and government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what.
And then he had to say this later in the comment.
I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the Senate.
And so, Jim, obviously, as he said himself at his press conference, it wasn't the most elegantly stated. It leaves the impression to some, certainly, that he believes everyone who accepts government money or doesn't pay federal taxes is kind of a freeloader. He used the word victim, won't take personal responsibility for their lives. That certainly paints with a broad brush, and it's certainly not smart politically to just assume that none of those people are reachable for your campaign. But here's Romney's response last night about the point he was making and the difference between the two campaigns and the two parties in this election.
His government-centric, larger and larger government approach has meant that we have 15 million more people on food stamps, 23 million people out of work or stopped looking for work or underemployed. We have had 43 straight months with unemployment above 8%. And my view is that the right approach for our nation is not to adopt a government-centered approach, but instead a free people, free enterprise, free market, consumer-driven approach. And that will build the strongest economy for ourselves and for the coming generations.
I thought it was a strong statement by Romney. And even if you just take the Mother Jones clips, Jim, it certainly doesn't rise to the level of bitter clingers that we heard a cycle ago.
If this is not a good martini, at least has the ingredients of a good martini. And now it's up to the Romney campaign to assemble those ingredients in the right way, which is to say, look, I would be among those who say that I'm not sure that not paying federal income tax is really the best measurement of whether or not you're dependent upon government. But I think conservatives have a fairly obvious and you know, well-founded case to make, which is that whoever you are, whether you're making a lot of money, whether you're making a little money, if we all benefit from government, which has been one of the central points of the Democratic campaign, and I don't think too many people would dispute that, then we all should pay something in. Now, we can we can argue about exactly what the right amount is. But the notion that some people would pay zero income tax in this country and still enjoy all the benefits of government strikes a lot of people as a just flat wrong. You know, that basically, even if some people make not much money and then they don't have much to spare, they should kick in something. That's kind of even if it's only a few percentage points of their income. Yes, they pay payroll taxes. Yes, they pay sales taxes when they make purchases and things like that. As I've laid out in Campaign Spot, there are a lot of little examples. You might say anecdotal, but clearly enough anecdotes, the joke is that the plural of anecdote is data, of people who really do believe that it is the purpose of government to care for them, to say that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, etc. Probably the most famous one was the woman who said that Obama's going to pay for my gas and Obama's going to pay for my mortgage after a rally in 2008. Peggy Joseph was the name of that woman. But even you look through the Obama years, you keep seeing these successful scams that tell people Obama's going to pay for utility bills. The stimulus has things to cover your cell phone bills and things like that. And it's not the purpose of government to just give you money to make life easier. You have to go out and earn a living. And I think, Romney can make a point that I think will resonate with well more than 53% of America. It's not that there's necessarily – look, anybody can experience hard times and find themselves needing public assistance. But you should want to not be on food stamps. You should want to not be on welfare. You should want to not be on public assistance. And it's because your goal in life in America, I don't think it's, this is a crazy ideological thing to say, is that you should want to be independent and able to support yourself and able to support your family. And the only way you do this is by going out and getting a job, which is the sole central message of the Romney campaign. The vast chunk of the problems we face in this country at this moment is not enough people are working and not enough people are able to support themselves, support their families, support their plans for a better future through education and all these things. If you are waiting for the government to take care of you, things in your life are never going to get better. You have to take responsibility for yourself. Government can, you know, lend a hand here and there, and the whole point of government lending that hand is supposed to be in the hardest cases, in the most deserving. When you keep finding examples of this, people point out, you know, able-bodied people standing on line in the welfare line, jobs being unfilled, the controversy over the elimination of work requirements in the welfare law. Look, you're not supposed to want government to take care of you. And if you do, there's something wrong with you. This is not what you're meant to do in this life. You are meant to make something of yourself. And this is a great message that can really resonate far and wide. The idea that this is actually going to be very damaging to Romney is I'm pretty skeptical of that notion because – one, nobody believes that they are the true freeloader. Everybody always thinks the freeloader is some other guy. And in the end, he's really talking about the Democratic base. Romney was never going to win those votes anyway. So it's kind of fascinating to watch the Chuck Todds, the Chris Salizas, and the Jonathan Martins of the world act as if Romney tore off his clothes and started sucking helium and singing the Star-Spangled Banner backwards or something like that, or some crazy meltdown. But I think this is the biggest problem with it we have on the right is that Romney's saying it behind closed doors. He should be saying this in his speeches. He should be saying that, look, getting Americans independent and no longer dependent on government should be the goal of our policies and our office holders, not a way to get them more dependent on government so that they feel a need to keep the right party in charge to make sure the money keeps flowing.
On to martini number two now, and this one is depressing and kind of follows on what we've been talking about a lot in the second martini over the past week. And that, of course, is radical Muslim violence. But this goes back well before the recent 9/11 attacks against our consulates in Benghazi and Cairo and so forth. And this is the blue-green violence. It's been happening for months now where these joint operations, the security operations between NATO and in large part American troops along with Afghan troops trying to train them, take over their own security when we pull out in 2014 – and, of course, the stories that have been erupting over the last few months are how often our own troops are being killed because they're being ambushed by radicals wearing the uniform of our supposed allies over there. And so now we're at the point, Jim, where the Pentagon is suspending these joint patrols because we can't trust our supposed friends not to shoot us in the back, literally, on these patrols. And so what is being touted in this presidential campaign by the incumbent as a success over there is quickly turning into something other than that.
This has been a fairly big story for quite a few months now, and it's kind of frustrating how it's not that it gets ignored by the mainstream media. It just doesn't get to break through into, you know, major dominant news story. You kind of hear a story that kind of checks the boxes, and then the conversation moves on to what anonymous sources are saying about Romney's campaign manager, Stu Stevens, and stuff like that, or, ooh, what's the latest thing Todd Akin did, or something like that. This is a serious problem. We've always had doubts about our allies in Afghanistan and how serious the government was over there. But we're now, they've had, you know, attack after attack after attack. To his credit, Obama did talk about this in mid-August, basically said, we've been watching with deep concern and we're doing a range of things. And, well, I think as we can see, the things have not really changed. You know, like we're still seeing these sorts of attacks. We are not vetting the people in the Afghan forces well enough so that at any given moment, our troops can have some Afghan guy who they're training turn their guns on them. It's funny, this may be more effective as a form of resistance by the Taliban and their allies than any IED or any other method that they're doing. If you can really separate the level of trust between the United States and the coalition forces and the Afghan forces they're supposed to be training. The fact that this is now being done in response to the alleged, you know, the YouTube video strikes me as very strange. Like, this has been a serious problem for weeks, and now we're using the movie as the reason to do this. I'd like to see Romney talk about this. I'd like to see Obama talk about this. This is one of those issues where I don't think there's a clear partisan answer to this. I don't think that there's necessarily I don't think you can necessarily pin this on Obama other than the sense to say, well, we said we were trying something and whatever we're trying isn't working well enough. Off the top of my head, I don't know any better, you know, methods of dealing with this problem of how to vet Afghans better. Just because there's not a partisan angle doesn't mean it's not important. And I kind of feel like the whole media is just falling down on the job and not calling attention to a, you know, serious and worsening situation in Afghanistan.
Clearly, it's not getting better. And we'll see if one of these candidates will talk about it in public. The commander-in-chief, you would think, would be talking about this more than he has. Anyway, on to martini number three now. And Jim, we know that there are media monitoring organizations that, for the most part, have a general political bent to them. It happens on both sides of the aisle. The ones that we like are, you know, Media Research Center, Newsbusters, that type. And on the left, of course, there's Media Matters for America. What usually doesn't happen, however, is pretty much blatant collusion on the part of the government with these media organizations. And the Daily Caller, through a Freedom of Information Act request, has basically uncovered these emails between the Department of Justice, Public Affairs Director Tracy Schmaler, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that, and various people over at Media Matters. Sometimes one side starts the, hey, Fox is going with this story. Can you dig up something on this? Or sometimes it's Media Matters calling DOJ saying, oh, Fox says they're going to be breaking a big story on Fast and Furious. What can you give us to head this off? And so, Jim, I'm not sure there's anything particularly criminal here other than perhaps with the tax status of Media Matters, but the idea that they are this independent observer of news coverage has pretty much been eroded. It has been, really, for a long time, and this is just more proof of it.
From now on, we should just refer to Media Matters as administration spokesman Media Matters. That's the role that they've stepped into, and it's one of those things where it's easy to see folks getting, you know, sucked into this role, even though it's wrong. I mean, early on, there are presidential campaigns that have talked to me and said, all right, Jim, here's how we need you to help us. And I remember thinking, well, my job is not really to help you. My job is to help inform my readers. Now, if what, you know, you and I talk about helps inform my readers, that's great. And that, if that serves your purposes, you know, that's wonderful. But I'm not out to help you. I don't work for you. Maybe you're kind of misunderstanding that. I work for my employer, and my employer's purpose is to serve my readers. And, you know, sometimes people in government, some of people in campaigns lose track of that. And then there are some groups who just embrace that role. And it looks like Media Matters has decided to embrace the role as an administration spokesman. Not surprising anyone, they didn't embrace that role during the Bush administration. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying to, you know, clear up misconceptions and misperceptions and erroneous information, but this looks like just a disturbing level of coordination on the part of these guys. And they're now administration mouthpieces and should be treated as such.
I think that's going to be the reaction of a lot of people to this story. It's not just Fast and Furious, although a lot of it has to do with that. The Department of Justice completely dismissing the voter intimidation case against the New Black Panther Party from the 2008 elections, also a part of this as well. So, Jim, again, not a day of fabulous news, but could be worse. There's still three more days in this work week, so let's cross our fingers that we do get some even happier news. Maybe some good polling numbers would be helpful as we go forward. But either way, we'll talk to you about it tomorrow.
All right, looking forward to it, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.